Avi Avery, and welcome to Spirit's Work. My husband Mick and I are mediums, healers, and authors, and for the next hour, we'll be bringing you interdimensional communication between this world and the spirit world. Our shows and books are designed to bring you information that will expand your knowledge about life on Earth, the universe, and the spirit world. Today's show is about insight, and if you'd like to join us, the phone lines will be open. The number to call is a free phone number, 877-876-5227. 877-876-5227. And do remember that it's not a personal reading, okay? You're joining in with the subject of the conversation tonight, okay?
Hi, I'm Mick Avery. As well as Spirit's Work on bbsradio.com every Monday at 9 p.m. PST and every Thursday at 2 p.m. PST, we also have another radio show which is called Spirit Teaching on artistfirst.com every Tuesday at 8 p.m. PST. If you would like to know more about us, our books and our work, we suggest you go to our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com. Each week on Spirit's Work, we discuss subjects that will help us to make more measured and thoughtful decisions concerning every being and our planet, so that we can look at the bigger picture of life as eternal beings. Gregory Hay had an Earth life 300 years ago and has spent his time since then educating himself and learning about his role as spokesperson for the White Cloud Group, as well as the many other tasks he does in service to others. I've been channeling Gregory Hay for many years now, and when he speaks through me, I'm not aware of anything that is said, as my spirit and consciousness are taken to the spirit world until Gregory leaves again at the end of the show. So that's all from me. That's my total bit, and I'm going to go to sleep.
The bus has come to take Mick off to the spirit world.
Or to the funny farm.
Okay. Well, Gregory is a spokesperson for a group of spirits of higher intelligence called the White Cloud Group. They're an educational group that consists of eminent scientific minds of all descriptions, along with ordinary people who have a valuable input to make regarding their life experiences. They've come to help us to understand the nature of our existence and hopefully to point us in a more positive direction by helping us to think beyond the constraint of our human minds. They don't follow any religious beliefs or political concepts, but believe in everyone's right to their own way of thinking and point of view. I guess you'd say that they only want us to maybe make us more aware of our true identity and makeup, and help us to move forward in our lives in a more peaceful and harmonious way. They hope they will inspire us and help us to become motivated into reaching our full potential by gaining knowledge and a positive outlook. And once again, the number to call is 877-876-5227. And our website is www.spirit-teaching.com. So, are you with us yet, Gregory?
Hello, my dear friend.
Hi.
Hello, once again with absolute love and light, as always.
Thank you. And today we're going to be talking about insight, I believe.
I believe so.
Please.
Yes, friend. Quite so. Huh. What do you call insight? Are they the things that you measure one another's life by? Do you look upon one another and admire certain things, certain situations about a person's life, and feel that other aspects of it really have nothing whatsoever to do with you? What insights we take from one another are really to do with our own observance with which we educate ourselves and each other. We do this in a varying number of ways. We may do this when perhaps we meet together in a group, and it may be that we are taking within ourselves an element of someone else's energy. That is because in a group situation, we are perhaps feeding from one another's empathy or emotional state. When we look at trying to discover an insight about yourself, about ourselves, in whatever way we are, whether we are in the spirit world or in the physical state, we are looking to try to understand some admirable quality about another being, about what they have come to accept in their life. You may do this in a similar setting, perhaps in a small group, a meditation circle or something like that. What you would do, perhaps to gain the insight of inner peace, would be to observe sometimes how a person just reacts to events. Have you decided yet that this person that you observe has actual claim upon inner peace? Have they brought it into their lives? This is a glorious insight of inner peace, but finding it, locating the well within a self, can sometimes be so difficult, so fraught with investigation, with wrong alleyways or blind pathways that we are led along, because we may follow other people's teachings as to how these inner states of awareness may be brought into life. Discovering the well within is no simple task, and yet it really is. It is just that human beings tend to complicate it, make it much more difficult than it need be. So within this scope of reasoning, then, we look to how a person reacts within a self to see whether we wish to model ourselves. Not necessarily completely upon them, but actually to try to discover some element of joy within a life which is being displayed for all to see. After all, if you come into contact with someone who is calm, who is unchallenged by the day, but merely accepts and is able to rise above situations of harm, continuing their contentment is not easy when adversarial conditions are met head on. For some, then, they glory in this specific insight into peace and calm, perhaps because they have found a way purely for themselves to be able to access this calming well within a self. We may take all different kinds of views at this. We may observe perhaps the way the person holds their hands, perhaps the way they sit when they're meditating. Is it in the traditional way of being cross-legged on a floor, which of course many people can't stand because of arthritis or some other medical condition? They do not really necessarily want to go and have to study yoga for a year in order to get into that position in the first place, yet alone sit for the peace of within a self and inner awareness. So we can see then that in gaining an insight into one's own pathway, we look to one another, to our behavior. In discovering, for instance, this peace within a self, trying to align self with the harmonic layer of the planet upon which you may live, can be difficult at times, particularly if you live in a highly populated area. Dense populations do nothing for the service of harmony in some aspects because of this disparity between those people who are aware and those who are not. And those who are not tend to be rather garish, rather loud, and to a certain extent difficult to take within your conscious or emotional setting.
Very good. So So what are you suggesting? That we become more attuned to other people's emotions? You mentioned that we take in each other's energy in group situations.
Yes, quite so.
Which is quite interesting. I know we go to become within the energy of the whole atmosphere.
Yes.
But one doesn't think about actually taking in the energy of the individual.
Yes, but that, you see, my friend, is because all of you are emitting certain signals which are pheromonically picked up by one another. You are also emitting certain energies to do with your well-being. You're in a state of calmness. How you feel within yourself at that time is something which is echoed by the mass. I am saying this particularly because it is important, for example, in that particular setting, when you are going to sit in meditation, perhaps, that you would actually leave your troubles and the situation of your day outside of the door when you take off your shoes. The point of this, and it is well to remember, that the point of this is because when you move into a place where you are going to meditate, if you make a practice to leave the emotional state of your day, along with your thoughts of it, outside of the door in your shoes, then what you are doing is you are absolving yourself of those connections with the physical state, because for the time that you enter into that room, no matter whether you are in a group sitting or whether you are sitting just one-to-one with someone else or even on your own, if you do this as a form of practice in taking off your shoes and leaving your memories and your thoughts of the day and emotions of it in the shoes, you are actually physically leaving them outside of the door. I know this is a bit of a mind game perhaps to some, but it is actually something which you can physically relate to and you can actually place into a segment of reality into your life by actually thinking it and being it in that time, in that moment. Actually visualize yourself placing all of these ridiculous thoughts and mundane things, these activities and situations to do with conversations and whatnot that you have undergone in your physical life that day. Leave them in your shoes.
You could practice that before that, presumably.
Absolutely.
At different times in your day and create other little time slots.
Yes, quite so. When you do not have to have those cares or those worries in your life.
Hmm. Like, for instance, when you have a bath, maybe.
Yes.
If you were going to
absolutely.
Be doing that, especially before you go through meditation.
But actually, my dear friend, in having a bath, and we do actually suggest that people do have a bath or a shower or something like that before you have meditation, but before you go into meditation. I know this is perhaps being a little symptomatic of kind of a traditional value or trait of a spiritual rite or something like that. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that in actually perhaps getting in a shower, for example, as you wash, as you allow the water to run over your body, you are cleansing yourself with the purity of the water. You are also enabling, perhaps, your mind to say, I want to wash away these negative thoughts and traits, these conversations I've had, all of the emotions I've had to deal with in the day, wash them away and wave goodbye to them as they go down the plug, as they go down the hole in the floor, and into the drain, I believe you would call it, yes. And that you would actually just do that, and then once you step out of that shower or bath, you are feeling much more relaxed. Alternatively, of course, you may like to rest in a bath or something like that of hot water. You can either wash again away these problems and these fears of the time in this gaining of it your inner sights of peace. you may actually wash this away, and then when you draw out the water, your fears and emotional states are washed away with it. This also, of course, may be that you signify in your mind that you want them to evaporate instead with the mist and condensation which is rising up from your hot water. And although I actually recommend that instead, that through your inner sight of peace, that you actually leave it in the water body itself. Because otherwise you are having all these thoughts and emotions and memories of the day whizzing around in the air, floating by you in the air, rather than actually being grounded and sent back to the earth.
That's amazing that that works, isn't it? I mean, and so...
And it does work,
mm-hmm.
of course.
Mm.
Absolutely. Yes.
So when you're sitting in your meditation group and you're picking up thoughts from other people, can you send them back? Or can you do something so that you're not receptive to them?
Absolutely so, yes. So what you would do within the meditation group is perhaps if you begin to receive thoughts from someone else which are errant or perhaps a little hostile. Jealousy is something which usually tends to arise in a meditation group. And this is something that you can characterize and deal with in a simple way of either using your mind to envelop yourself in a mirror, which is actually something which you can practice at home, and you can do this with a small mirror yourself. Actually look within the mirror and gradually pass it around your body, continually looking into the mirror and visualizing what your body looks like from the outside. And by doing this, you will actually enable yourself to be able to construct a mirror-like bubble around yourself. This can either be a reflective mirror which is within a self or something that reflects outward and reflects your image, but not so that you would be harmed by any incoming jealousy toward you. Why do you think would there be jealousy, perhaps, in a meditation group of all places where everyone is supposed to be harmonic?
Quite, yeah.
Well, these things do happen because human beings are what they are. They become jealous of each other. We all do it at some stage in our lives. We try to want to be at the apex or in the situation of how one another sees oneself. We are always trying to observe how we are in the frame of our genetic hold upon the situation. What I mean by this is that do not forget your errant characteristic within a self is that you are always trying to vie for position, regardless of whether you want to or not. It is something which human beings do, and it takes actual effort in order for a human being to withdraw that energy feeling and be harmonic, and genuinely be harmonic within the vibration of a particular place, particularly a meeting like that.
So because we have to vie for position because of climbing the ladder of life, as it were, and getting on in life. And
yes, absolutely
not
so.
Not getting left behind in the materialistic
Yes, quite
world.
So. And sadly, the situations governing meditation are very similar in this respect. One wouldn't think so, but they are. And this is purely because the way that human beings look at or observe one another, particularly in a meditational state, if you are being guided by someone else, a teacher or something like that, and you are going around the room, or he or she is going around the room afterwards asking people questions about their meditation practice or what they felt and observed, perhaps, which is usually the thing to do, you, even in a one-to-one situation, would do this. You would ask one another, if you were sitting for one another in a development situation, you would ask one another what you saw, what you felt, what you experienced with the exchange of the spirit world, or even perhaps just sitting within a self.
for the insight of peace. You are still trying to understand the mechanic of what the spirit world are bringing to you in order for you to find the mechanic of peace, in order for you to find this inner well of insight for you to draw from.
I'd like to say thank you for those who may have just joined us on Spirit's Work. You're listening to Spirit Guide Gregory Hay, being channeled by deep trance medium Mick Avery. I'm Sylvie Avery, and we're talking about insight. And if you'd like to join us with a question related to our subject, then the phone lines are open, and we'd love to hear from you. If you have any problems that you'd like to discuss, maybe with your meditations or something like that, you know, maybe Gregory can help you. And the number is a free phone number. It's 877-876-5227. 877-876-5227. Okay, so in this vying for position, how does that affect our spiritual development in our meditation? You know, how does that, obviously that must hold us back.
Yes, well, that is the point, really, that I'm saying of why people should not talk of their daily events when just before they are going into a meditation room or when they are going to meditate. They shouldn't really be discussing anything at all. It should be silent, with no words spoken whatsoever.
So, yes, through experience, people tend to turn up, and because maybe it's once a week that they meet, they tend to get there and say, well, what's your week been like? Or,
yes.
How was, you know, or, oh, I've had a bad day today, and discussing all that sort of thing.
Yes, absolutely, yes, all the trials and tribulations of life and your relatives and or whatever it is that has befallen you. Mm. It depends entirely, of course, about how you are prepared for that sitting. And I agree with you that for many people, particularly those who are only doing this as an occasional practice of once a week or twice a week even, it really is quite misunderstanding of someone to expect that they would actually benefit from any of this at all if that is all the practice, all the work they are going to put into it.
In the old days, if people were sitting for mediumship, they tended to just sit once a week.
Yes, I am aware of that. Mm. And some now will only sit once or twice a week. Mm. Perhaps those who are completely developed, as it were, within their gifts. In other words, that spirit have actually been motivated, and that the energy has built to such an extent that they feel that they do not actually have to sit for that much or for that often in their practice. It tends to be that that energy has become so well defined within the spirit group that perhaps they do not feel the need to do that, that the development will just carry on regardless of how often they are able to sit. Meditation, however, is not necessarily to do with the development of spirit gifts.
No.
It is to do with your own spirituality and how you wish to define yourself, how you wish to improve your life, gaining further insights into wellness and activity to make you happier, to bring you to not just to the well of peace, but also to bring you to the well of love, to understand really how love can, in a spiritual sense, have a far deeper impact upon every aspect of your life, every step of the journey that you take.
And sitting in meditation for your spirit, just at home on your own, will bring you insights into your spiritual development, ultimately, won't it?
Absolutely.
Now, we have a caller online, and it's a pleasure, once again, to be speaking with you, Gregory Hay. Absolutely a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Sylvia, pleasure. We have a caller. I'll put him on.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks.
friends.
Hi.
Hello, Finn.
Hi. Gregory, I have a question, and that is, like, in, with society, we have sociological differences, and we have to overcome them to relate to each other. But
can you speak up, John?
When spirits talk to people, are there bigger sociological differences? I mean, do they laugh at us, kind of, saying, wow, these people, they're clueless, you know, they see so much more than we do? What's the personality relationship like there?
The reality of a relationship in that way is really that I understand that some people really work at their spirituality, their gifts or whatever, and others seem to just laze away through it as though they are really not caring that much, and yet they still seem to gravitate things toward them which are of great benefit. And you would think, well, how did they get that when they haven't really put any work into it? It is actually a part of the situation that for some people they seem to swan through life like some noble antelope, and really nothing really touches them or taints the things that they do. They may actually even abuse the situation they have been given and continue to abuse it all the way through their life, and yet they are still handed more and more things, more aspirations that people seek, and they cannot even find the money to pay for their own heat or light, and yet others are just given it by the bucket load, by the truckload, as it were. And you wonder, well, how can this disparity be? It is really through the state of the fact that some people are just actually there at a particular time, and they are able just to use their ingenuity or their energy to hold on to or acquire more material wealth than someone else. Whereas with spiritual insights, perhaps they do not actually have those. I understand, however, that many people may have great spiritual gifts and yet abuse them. This, of course, is a great shame to those on our side of life, and we would worry over the fact of what exactly will befall them once they come back to the spirit world. How actually will this pan out for them is anyone's guess. Who can say? I cannot be that specific, because all lives are different. Everyone's understanding reaches its velocity of intent, of the ability of the traveler to be able to really, truly understand where they are, who they are, what they are doing. And rather than fall under the hammer of ignorance and leave the physical life not knowing anything further than how to tie their shoelaces.
But Gregory, if you can describe the relationship with the spirit, with people in one word, would you say it was altruistic, or what would be the best word?
The relationship between spirit and people in the physical state, the best word to describe that relationship is seeking, because one seeks the other. The spirit does not seek the physical state. The spirit is spirit in purity. The physical state seeks spirit because of the whole, the well within which is empty, which is looking for something to fill it. The only reason why human beings look for these things in alcohol or drugs or in entertainment or some other superfluous thing to make them happy is because they are not with the spirit within. Therefore, seeking is the absolute optimum that any one person can do to resolve this difference between the two energies, the energy of the spirit, which is pure, and the energy of the physical state, which is however it is at that time.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, thanks. Yes, that's interesting. When you talk about the spirit, you talk about the spirit always being in the spirit world.
Yes.
Our individual spirit.
That is true.
So it's like, so we know that we're searching for something.
Yes.
And we just go off the rails looking in the wrong direction.
That is true.
And we're actually trying to become in tune and in harmony and aligned with our spirit.
Yes, as a physical vehicle, this is not really that difficult, but human beings make it more difficult, more demanding, if you like, because human beings search for ways out, because they perhaps are told, for many, that they should not be doing it, that they should not be doing this or that thing. Perhaps they are forced to align with a specific religion or theocracy. Perhaps they are actually told that talking with dead people will do them harm.
And in certain instances it would, wouldn't it?
Well, absolutely so, yes, quite so.
Yeah.
Yes, for some, of course, who are extremely negative and have errant thoughts because of their physical state of life that they had and led, it will be that you really should not be dealing with them. But for otherwise, you as a physical being in the field of physical state that you are looking for this hole, how to plug it, how to fill it, how to try to resolve this gnawing yearning within a self, which is in you trying to build upon this insight of inner peace. You know that some people obtain inner peace because you see it in their faces. You acknowledge it within a person's eyes. You may look perhaps at a native being of some country or other and see great wisdom within the eye itself. Looking at them is like looking into the eyes of God, because it is. You are. That is exactly what you're doing.
Some people you speak to, you can speak to some people and instantly you feel, oh gosh, what a spiritual person. It just oozes from them, from their voice, from their pause and everything.
Yes.
But we generally do in the, like you say, like the morass of materialistic life that we lead, we generally have a problem in discerning spirituality because of the negativity and the humdrum way we live. What does it look like from the spirit world, when you see somebody who is spiritually developed, shall we say, I don't know how you want to call it.
Yes.
Aware, spiritually aware. Yes.
What a person looks like to us from the spirit world when they themselves are becoming spiritually aware is that their aura changes. The things which look like to us where the auric field is showing signs of decay or worrisome in some way are usually to do with red or murky auras, to do with dull colors. Yellow, particularly in the aura, is not necessarily something which is attractive. Usually, when someone is becoming aware, they are actually turning this vibrant purple color, indigo, is also a color which comes to mind, that they are actually becoming more in tune. And so the crystallization of the auric field around the outer edges, perhaps, is something which are reflecting back toward you as a physical being, and that is actually intensifying the energy color that we can observe. So, and this will actually gradually turn to quite a glow. And people, human beings, they often attain this glowing resonance. You may even observe it yourselves physically upon the skin, that a person who is spiritually gifted in some way, you will observe this through their aura and through their pores of their skin, that they actually have this very definite glow of their own vitality. And this is something which originates from the structure, as I say, of the physical state and the spirit within. It is when these two become perfectly harmonic, or more and more harmonic.
Yes, I have witnessed that. Not very often, really, but...
Yes, quite. Yes.
Yeah. And then does their aura extend?
Oh, absolutely so. It, of course, will extend when a person meditates. It can be from anything from a foot or so to several feet or even 15 feet that an aura would extend after having meditated. So it may give you an indication of exactly what that looks like. It is usually actually that it will be tinged with blue upon meditation.
Right. On the outside?
On the very outside, yes. Mm-hmm. And that it will have this very light and airy feel to it.
Mm-hmm. And what happens in the spirit world when people are sitting for the development of their spirit? Not gifts or anything like that, but when they're just sitting to go within, to attune themselves to their spirit, what happens in the spirit world around them at that time?
Well, basically, what actually happens is that many people are drawn and attracted to this energy vibration which you emit at that time. It is actually because it is a beautiful sight to see when a human being awakens in that way, not just awakens, but actually continues to develop it. And this is a very pure energy. It is something of a very beautiful vibration, a kind of an undulating vibration. It is as though they are glowing like a light bulb on your side of
okay.
life. Yes.
I'd like to say thank you for those who have just joined us on Spirit's Work. If you have a question for Gregory, do give us a ring. It's a free phone number. That's 877-876-5227. We're talking about insight tonight. So if you have any questions regarding meditation problems or anything to do with our subject tonight, give us a ring on 877-876-5227. Okay. I have to say, when mention the prayer and invocation when we sit for meditation,
yes.
or anything like that, because I know you always recommend that we should do that.
Yes, quite so. Absolutely. Always say an invocation. Some people call it calling in the light. Other people may call it a prayer, may call it anything that you wish. All it is communication. Communion with God is Creator, whoever, whatsoever you define that to be in your life. It matters not. You are not being disrespectful if you call it any name that you have, which is something which you are issuing respect to. And it isn't to say that you are trying to, as it were, raise your vibration through saying this prayer, that you are trying to search for words, perhaps to say the right words. Do away with all of that. You don't need it. What you need to do is just connect and say what it is that you want, what it is that you feel, why you are doing this, why you are asking God for your help, why are you asking for protection, for well-being during your meditation, for peace, for perhaps it is that you are using your meditation for specific development just of your harmonic layer, not anything to do with gifts that you have, as you said, quite rightly, and that you are not actually wanting or seeking anything to do with the spirit world at that time, then say so. Say exactly what it is that you want to sit for and why you are doing it. If you are seeking for the love within a self, if you are seeking for the peaceful insight of the journey of life, then say that is what you want to do. Use the description of what you seek. Remember, you are a seeking being. You will never stop being a seeking being. The point for you in this journey, in this life, is to seek the object, the right object, that will bring you peace and happiness. If you don't do that, if you cannot do that, if you can't face it, for whatever reason, you will have missed your chance.
Having said that, do you meditate in the spirit world?
Absolutely. Yes, many people don't. However, many people just go out and drink themselves silly. Or they will just eat and eat and eat and eat and eat and eat without stopping. Some people have that fixation of what they did in physical life and continue it in the spirit world once they have left it.
I find that really hard to understand. But
well, yes, I understand that. But that is because of the cellular structure of the interim period of what you are in your conscious state and the memory fixated by it. It is really just that for some, they just regurgitate that memory because they are frightened of attracting anything else. And that really is to do with it. You see, a lot of people, when they come to our side of life, are very much faced with fear, very much faced with the trauma of, well, what do we do now? You see,
yes.
It doesn't have to be like that. It doesn't have to be a trauma. It is just that people are so unprepared.
Well, yes, but then we hear about being met and having help the other side. What happens in that case? Aren't there people to help them?
Well, of course, yes, if they want help.
Right.
If they actually listen, or they may just go their own way like they would in any event.
And they may, well, what about their relatives? Or I guess their relatives could still be doing that.
Well, yes, quite so. And of course, it will all depend upon their climb, how they have reached the goal they had set, whether they are actually wanting to continue that well of life, or do they want to draw from a different well? Are they looking for a different insight in life? Are you looking for a new insight to fulfill your life, or are you actually still filling the one that you have? If you are seeking for the well of peace within a self, then it is an ongoing situation. You never stop doing it. It isn't to say that it is not fulfilling, but that it is so intricate and there are so many different variables for you to draw from, for you to find peace in everything.
We have another caller.
Okay,
we'll put him on. One moment, please.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello, friend.
Hi. We spoke once before about a couple weeks ago, and you had some good advice for me. And tonight the show is on insight.
Yep.
And I was wondering if you could give me some insights on maybe an invocation, because I've had a little problem with a family member who is mentally deteriorating. Who's pretty angry at me, and so when I go to sleep, sometimes two or three times in the same week, this person actually falls asleep, and then he comes to me, and he actually causes a tachycardia experience. It's like a palpitation of the heart, and I feel like his energy is so angry that he's actually trying to throw my energy off, trying to make me feel imbalanced. Because he's a very controlling person.
Yes, I understand, friend.
And it has a physiological effect on me.
I understand quite correctly.
Okay.
Exactly what you are going through. The first point I would like to make is that what you are viewing and what you are seeing at the time that you are meeting with this relative, with this person, is that you are actually dealing with the issue of his energy. Mm-hmm. And his energy is unpleasant. It is unpleasant because he has not resolved so much, and there is a disorganization occurring within the mental picture because there is not the stability that there once was. This is very frustrating, and the frustration has boiled out into this seemingly complete disregard for a relationship you may have once had.
Yes.
This has actually affected you most disarmingly, I have to say.
Yes.
What you must do, my dear friend, is you must actually learn to control your own self. And I know this may seem a little strange, but you must learn to control the energy release of yourself and how you accept energy from other people. The problem is that you should be protecting yourself and the energy of purity that you are. I find that you are actually an extremely sensitive being.
Yes,
and that you have a problem with this
sensitivity,
actual sensitivity, and with not actually being able to control it in the way that it best suits you.
Yes.
And you are actually unable to, as it were, turn it off. It is though, in this modern day, in an age in which you live, you are expected to turn on and off your sensitivity like a light switch.
Yes.
And that you have to be sensitive to some people and yet withdrawn and reserved and hold your energy within a self with others because they can actually do you great harm.
Yes.
The problem that you are finding with this being is that he is doing you great harm, not only because of present energy, perhaps to do with your sleep state, and we will come to that in a moment, but also to do with the very fact of how he is affecting you in the relationship of now, of how you are dealing with it in a one-to-one basis between this caustic vibration, which is being assailing your energy centers and your very primal fear is in having this energy overtake you in and destroy your equilibrium and balance.
Yes.
Well, my dear friend, you have come to the right place.
Oh, thank you.
Because the simple way of dealing with this is, as I was saying previously, within this situation, you must learn to use a mirror and use it in such a way as to construct it using your mind. You must take the mirror and gradually pass it all around your body. Start, I have to say, begin this with your sternum. Yes?
Okay.
Begin with this with your sternum, with your
solar plexus.
Your solar plexus. Thank you very much,
Ben. Oh, that's where he enters. I feel him enter there.
And,
yeah.
Well, yes,
yeah.
But because this, my dear friend, is your most sensitive place. It isn't your head, not your mind, your actual sternum, and this place is your most sensitive place of the human body.
Yes.
And it is where everything will come rushing in.
Yes.
So what I want you to do is to practice this for me with a mirror and take really a mirror which is a reasonable size. You don't want one that's too small. Use your sight to actually observe what this place looks like and mentally draw this as saying, this mirror is only one way. I will only open this at a certain time of my choosing. When I wish to shut it, I will observe it as being this reflective surface. Do you see?
Okay, so am I to visualize it and physically see it from reflecting?
And physically see it as well. You are using your visual interpretation of what you are looking at in the mirror to remind you of the image of what you see. You understand? In this way, it will not be so difficult for you. Some people may have difficulty in visualization, per se. You understand?
I visualize now. I try to feel it more so than see it.
No, I want you to see it.
Okay.
I want you to actually see it in your mind's eye and in your very physical eyes. I want you to observe it, see what it looks like. If perhaps you, on another situation, if you come to this person, this individual, cover yourself, cover your solar plexus, actually physically with your hand.
Mm-hmm. I haven't seen him
actually. With the palm of your hand.
I haven't actually seen him in 20 years, and in his deteriorated mind, he still sees me as a young man who ran away from him and his controlling grip on me, so to
say. Yes. Well, well. But I'm saying to you, this is something that you can do in your sleep state in any time that he comes to visit you.
Mm-hmm. Because I can feel...
My point is, my friend, is this is your life, not his.
Yes.
You have the power to refuse him entry.
Okay.
It is just that you do not have the tools to do it.
Right, exactly. Now, with this mirror image that I'm to visualize physically as well as internally...
Yes.
Do I see the mirror deflecting or deflecting his energy, or do I see it just covering my solar plexus?
No, what you are doing, my dear friend, is you are using the mirror to reflect yourself. Therefore,
myself.
By reflecting yourself, he cannot gain access.
Okay,
it could be a two-way mirror, couldn't it?
It can be a two-way mirror, absolutely. Yes, it is dependent entirely upon what you decide, what would be best for you. I feel myself that I would use a single-way mirror because it is less complicated. If you just use the image that you see yourself, it is how other people see you. You understand?
I think so, and I am to see my solar plexus clearly, physically, and
yes.
Spiritually, and nothing can enter that mirror except positive love and light.
And accept your own thoughts.
So if you practice this on your own, actually physically with a mirror, and then you keep practicing that, and then it becomes a reality.
Yes.
You construct it in your mind as you're doing it so that you can call it up easier each time.
The more you practice this, the easier it will be to call it up, you see?
Okay. Should there be an invocation that I should say with that, or... Because you're so good at that, you gave me a really, really good invocation. Well, not directly to me, to your studio audience, for everyone. That really helps with the meditations that I started up. It was an invocation to my highest guides and helpers, second and oh, that's so powerful.
Yes, yes, quite so.
I feel them come right in.
Yes, absolutely
yeah.
So.
And
of course. I'm so pleased it works so well. It should
yes.
Do. It comes from the spirit world, so that is why we brought it up.
I mean, I've said other invocations before and other prayers and even decrees, but nothing like this. I'm very sensitive, but I physically felt them come every time. It doesn't matter where I'm at or what I'm doing.
Yes, of course, my friend, because they are there at your side. That is what you have asked of them.
Okay.
And in exactly the same way, my dear friend, you would perhaps use this same invocation when you are actually doing this mirror visualization. All you are doing is you are changing some words. You understand? You are saying, this is what I want to achieve. Please help me to do this.
Okay, so I want
you
to see
my... You
are
just using plain English, just ordinary.
Okay, so I want to see myself in the mirror at every level, and that
yes.
This is me, and nothing can intrude upon my energy.
That is true.
Spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, and... deflect any negative energy and misqualified energy. Is that good enough?
That is absolutely so.
Oh, thank you so much. I've been looking for this advice for so long. Because this person has been tormenting me for so many years.
Do you ever speak to him on the phone?
I'm sorry?
Do you ever speak to him on the phone?
I stopped speaking to him because I realized that this person is just angry at me, and actually this person is my father.
Yes, right.
And unfortunately, he's been mentally ill. I don't know if his brain doesn't secrete enough serotonin or what it is, and then he's deteriorating, alcohol and maybe drugs. And he's
yes, and people generally fall into that state of disrepair when they are... experiencing an intense lack of love or self-observation of love.
Yes, and he thinks that I'm supposed to be like him, and I'm not. And that's why he's so angry at me.
Yes, of course. It is for many, my dear friend, when they are feeling in that state, that they feel that you should be exactly the same as them, because after all, they have passed you their genetics. And
right.
They see it as a failure if you do not have exactly the same semblance of feeling the same thoughts as they have.
Yes. Yes, I mean, this is the most excellent advice I've received in years. I've talked to other mystics, but they couldn't give me a solution. And I'm going to try and work on this solution and have confidence in it.
My dear friend, with love and light.
Let us know how you get on later on.
Thank you.
Okay,
thank you.
Thanks.
God bless both of you and your husband, Mick. Thank you.
You
very much.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye.
Take care. Okay. Well, that's good. Yes, I mean, the protection thing is so important. And that's the other thing, though. Certain people don't really seem to get that problem so much.
And yet others do.
Yes.
And as I said, it is usually actually through the manipulation that some in the physical state have this advantage of power over others, and they use this power to manipulate, to gain the access to the way in which they can then try to use that life as an appendage of their own life.
Yes. Yes. Well, it's lucky that there are things that you can do. And there are other things as well, aren't there, that we can talk about sometime?
Yes, absolutely so. I do believe, in fact, my dear friend, that you should consider doing something along the lines of abusive relationships.
Do a program on abusive relationships?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
I know this does not really have anything to do with insights at this present time.
Well, you can send me an email and suggest that for a show then, Gregory. Okay?
Well, yes, I suppose I can.
It has to be official. It has to be,
Does it really?
It has to be really.
Well, perhaps I will have to inspire someone to do just the very thing.
Okay. Well, we've got about another 10 minutes, so...
Very well, yes.
Where can we go with this now?
Where do you want to go with it, my friend?
I'm not sure.
Well, I will continue then.
Okay, fine. Good.
Absolutely so. Well, yes, now, to say then that when we are seeking the well within a self, as I say, through meditation, that is one thing and all very, very good for the equilibrium of the self and the inner state. What about other insights to do with the well of love, perhaps? How can some people have so much love to give to others, and yet others seem so depraved by what they feel they are giving away, they're hoarding it, that they are perhaps anxious about giving love to someone else because they feel that their love is more precious than someone else should have a taste for. For example, some people think that because of how they are viewing self, that they feel that their precious love is only finite, that if they give too much love to that person and they don't return it, then I'm losing out. I am not actually gaining the full inner sight back of the love that I have given. In that case, surely my giving that love is wasted.
Yeah.
In actual fact, what happens, my dear friends, for many people, is that they use love as a kind of commodity to broker a situation with a relationship, or to broker a way of continuing within their life circle of events, friends, perhaps acquaintances, relationships with relatives, and that kind of thing. And what they may be doing is actually using love as a tool in order to try to vie for position. Well, if I give you some of my love, then I will be in your favor. Therefore, I will attract to obtain what it is that I want from you. Love isn't like that, of course. You cannot actually use it in that way. I understand some people use it as a tool for, and will actually use material things as a tool for gaining love and understanding, which, of course, is nothing whatsoever to do with the insight of love as it is. As it is the energy of the perfect state of oneness, the perfect state of how you as a being may issue the energy of self to the universe. What human beings do not understand is that with the energy of love, it is something that you grow from within. The more that you grow, the more that you have dealings with giving your love to someone else, and I'm not talking about physical love, I'm talking about the love of from the spirit world, to do with your spirit, this fine energy of love which you will come to know and understand the more that you meditate, the more that you bring in, call in the loving guidance of harmony and harmonization fully with the planet on which you live, you will use this energy which will actually create love within you. This love within itself is actually endless. It has no beginning and no end. Once it begins, it fills you, fills every pore of your being with divine honesty. And it actually fills your life with laughter. It is such a supreme energy, such a beautiful and perfect sense that it brings to you that it fills your life. What you then have is this abundant love, purity, to give to others. But surely this is such an honorable state. You must be almost close to enlightenment if you have this kind of love to give. When you may only see or look at yourself as being unequaled to this task, that you cannot possibly bring so much love to the surface of your life and yet still feel that you are an ordinary person. But that is what ordinary people do. That is what native beings living in the middle of a jungle will do with one another. They will give absolute unconditional love. Perhaps those who have a ritualistic practice or something like that, which they bring into the offering of security, because they concentrate upon the tradition, perhaps, of a custom of bringing the divination between self and the earth, the spirit of all things, to complete oneness. By doing this, they are actually channeling the energy of self, the supreme love and guidance from without, from the creator of all life, is actually a part of them and can be a part of you too. This is done not through some altruistic motive. It isn't through some clever con or some kind of fallacy or interpretation or mind game. It isn't anything to do with that. It is just looking at self, your life, and knowing that you can give something to someone else. You can be in service to someone else by giving them your energy, your time, maybe precious, but you can give them some of it. You do not need it all for yourself. You should not be so selfish as to do that. You need to give it out to other things, to other people who need your attention, your guidance, your wisdom, your understanding. Even though you may feel yourself that you have no inner wisdom, you do. It is just that it remains untapped, unclear as to how you may actually resolve this situation until you fully open the well of love within. And then you will begin to feel it. You may sense it. This brimming, overflowing feeling of contact.
And that is something that comes from meditation.
And that comes from meditation.
By getting in touch with your spirit within.
Yes, friend.
So basically, it's like you channel, you are in tune and in harmony with your spirit, and it is aligned. It feels to me that this is a way of looking at it. It's aligned to you, so it feels like it's just flowing through you, and it's just so you are being driven from a higher aspect of yourself.
Yes, absolutely, and that is so well put, because, my dear friend, it is exactly what you are doing. What you are doing when you are blending within the harmony of the inner self is that when you come into full harmony and you accept that you are, for one thing, not to blame for everything that you have ever done, that much of it was through ignorance, through stupidity, through lack of understanding, through lack of knowledge. Wisdom is something which comes through the trial and error on the price of life. It isn't something that only comes from that. It also comes from the relationships that you have, from the great giving, the great beauty that you see and the beauty you give to others. Everything that you align yourself to being when you are in perfect harmony is that you will find animals will come to you. People will come to you as well, because they are animals too. And all of this because you will begin to shine as a light, as a beacon of loving understanding, enveloping all that you meet. And when you are within this perfect harmony source, you are actually, as it were, channeling the energy, the synergy of the universe through you. And that is the feeling that people get when they meet with you. They think you may actually, in some sense, that they could not do without being within your vibration. And it can actually reach to that harbor of light and intensity. And that really is the perfection of harmony and how it can affect your inner state. This really is a true insight into what you may be.
You create your own insight by being in it, in the moment.
Absolutely so. Being in the state of is. Perfect.
Okay. Okay, well, I think we've come to time. But that's been absolutely fantastic. Unless you want to talk a little while longer about anything, I think we've probably got a few more minutes.
Well,
I was going to mention, actually, synchronicity in that moment of being in that moment of harmony and in flux with the universe, as it were. Synchronicity tends to fall in place then, doesn't it?
Absolutely so, of course, because if you are in perfect tune and harmony with the universe and the energy of all that is, you are actually bringing into that the synchronicity that you are actually at the right place. You are where you should be. Now, some people may feel that the synchronicity has failed them because they feel perhaps that they are struggling uphill all of the time, that they are battling with the elements, as though battling with their own inner mind. Their own spirituality, perhaps, does not seem to hold all of that which is for others. Really, synchronicity in this purest form will only come into perfection at the point of perfection, of when you are in real perfect harmony, when you are at the right place at the right time for the right reasons. Not for ones of aggravation or material want or need, but that you are there for the purpose of being able to give what you are supposed to give to someone else, because they have need of it. Not because they desire it for themselves, but that they are going to use it in their work ahead of their life, in their journey. It is so important that each and every one of you, when you meet other beings, that you give something to them, something of your life essence, something of your experience. Maybe they may not want it. Maybe they just reject it or reject you, perhaps feeling that you don't know what you're saying or that you're babbling incoherently, as far as they're concerned, talking in another language even. Some people are so far removed from one another, even though they may speak the same base language. It is as though one mind turns within itself and another is completely, as it were, at a loss with what to do with the words or the vocality spoken. How can you say that one antelope to one person is this perfection of beauty, and yet to another all they want to do is slaughter it? If you look at any single thing, it is within the eye of the beholder how you yourself observe that thing to be. If it is a part of the natural environment, it will most probably be perfect. The one thing that human beings try to do in their evolutionary state, or what human beings try to design or bring into perfection, is perfection itself. How do we create perfection out of something that we are not perfect? Because human beings always determine that they are not perfect. That is why they are constantly seeking. Which is why, in fact, we come full circle. Because if someone is constantly seeking and does not find the spirit within, they will still constantly seek. Because they haven't found perfection. Perfection is the insight of the spirit within.
Okay, well, that's wonderful. Thank you so much, Gregory. Once again, it was charming.
With love and light, as always, my friend. Please be at peace in your journey. Find peace within a self. It is within every one of you to do that and be blessed.
God bless. And we hope you've enjoyed the show. I'd just like to mention our website again. That's www.spirit-teaching.com. You can find out more information about us and our work. You can also listen to us twice a week on Spirit's Work, and also once on a Tuesday night on Artist First. And that details for that are on our site also. And I'd like to say thank you so much for listening. My name is Sylvie Avery. You've been listening to Spirit's Work. And until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focus on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.